friend. You don't go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
Past the hour here on this Thursday. Hope you're well wherever you might be. Coming up in about 28 minutes will be Dwight Vick once again for his segment at 8:35-ish. Text line's open for you, 744-2990. Thanks for all the great comments responding to the conversation just had with our general manager, Paul Johnson. Joining us now on the program, it's been far too long. He's now the new head football coach for the Roanoke College Maroons. His name is Brian Steinspring. Coach, good morning. My goodness gracious. How have you been, my friend?
I'm great, Big Dog. How you doing? It's great to talk to you again, Rick. Yeah,
it's great to talk to you, man. And first of all, congratulations. This is really cool. I know I was very excited, this opportunity. Just talk about how it all came about when Roanoke decided to go with football, and I can't think of a better person to get the program started than yourself.
I appreciate you saying that. It came about a lot of different ways. I was actually back at VMI coaching over there, and before I actually started that job, the president, Shishak, had called me, and they were having a feasibility study to take a look at football at Roanoke College, and he asked me to be a part of it. And you know, if you've never really been on Roanoke, on the campus and been around it, you don't really know. And the longer I was a part of the feasibility, having football at Roanoke College was, to me, a no-brainer. And as we worked through the feasibility and the committee, and the longer I was doing it, I said, you know, being a head coach here and starting a program and making it your own and building it from scratch really excited me a great deal. And so it just kind of took that turn. And me and the athletic director got together for about a couple hours one day for lunch. It turned into about a three-hour lunch, and I think we walked away from that feeling like we had a good direction we wanted to go.
Well, and you mentioned, I mean, you were perfectly happy what you were doing, right? I mean, as an assistant there.
I told the staff that I've hired. I said we're all on the same plane here. We all had good jobs. I was in a good situation. Enjoyed working with Danny Rocco, and of course the young men at VMI, and is close to home, and all those things that fit. But this just became really appealing, and the excitement surrounding it, and the people I met. I think we all, the guys that have been hired on the staff, we all got the same feeling. How many chances in life you got a chance to take something and run with it and kind of make it your own? And I think this has really appealed to all of us. The fact that it's in Salem and Roanoke, in an area that I've grown up my whole life around and recruited, and the people that are here, and you know this area well. There's an excitement about sports, and the community backing of it is extremely important, and it's been outstanding thus far.
The head football coach at Roanoke College, Brian Steinspring, joining us on the program. And I was going to ask you about that, Coach. How much of that played into it? Because the commitment down there, and you already know, I mean, the facilities down there are immaculate anyway down at Roanoke College. And their commitment to this, once you started to look into it and realize that this is just going to be a situation where everybody's going to be learning to grow together and see this for the long haul.
It was extremely important to know that there is a support within the community, within the administration, was paramount to me. And knowing how Salem and this Roanoke Valley supports any endeavor. You look around and you see the success across the board here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that meant the world to all of us, to me and the opponent, the other guys that are coming in here. So I thought it was critical as part of it. So going forward, I think this is it has continued to grow. When we're out in the town, out of Salem, out of Roanoke, people come up and just hearing the excitement and looking forward to a season and having college football on Saturdays. Of course, this year will be Sundays, but having college football here on a Saturday in this valley, everybody's excited about it. I mean, they keep me excited.
Well, and I know one of the things you had to do, Coach, was get your staff in order, right? How has that gone, and what kind of things were you looking for to fill out your coaching staff?
Well, that's a great question, and our staff is pretty much complete. We have five full-time guys, including myself. We also have four part-time coaches on the staff, and really what we were looking for is, with my coordinator hires, Mike Giannacola and Mitch Ferrick, guys that are aware, have been a part of Division III football, this conference. That was exciting, and we were able to do that with Mitch, who played at Guilford, who's from the state of Virginia, coached at Guilford, coached at Bridgewater, with Mike Giannacola, our defensive coordinator, from Northern Virginia as well, but he coached at Bridgewater, coached high school for a while, been a defensive coordinator at Bridgewater. That was paramount to me. It was a very big part of the puzzle, and then people that had to same vision that they saw what this could be with being located where we are, to start up a program, to have the support. I think each of these guys both saw that we got a chance to have a really something special here, and that just kind of continued to build with Tony Spradlin, who was offensive coordinator at Glenver, that I've been aware of for quite some time. And then we hired Gerard Johnson, from a kid football coach at Caroline County with a Richmond background. That brings a recruiting piece into it that's mm-hmm. very critical to us. So when you go back and just find the right people, the right fit, to have the same vision, that are excited about the possibilities that are here, it all came together. Then always, as you know me for a long time, the recruiting piece is a critical part of it.
Right,
and
right.
I think we blended it very well, and we were able to bring in Darren Venable, who played at Ferrum, Brandon Holland, who played at for me at Virginia Tech from Northside, Jeff Highfield, legendary coach at William Byrd's going to assist us. And so we just keep going on. And Ben Boyd, again, another guy coached at Ferrum, mm-hmm. coached at Franklin County. Just familiarity. I couldn't be more excited, Rick. I really can't, about the guys that have come on. And really the reason why they're here is it makes it worthwhile. This thing is, we started, Mike and I got together December 20th for the first time. Me, Mike, and Mitch, both coordinators, on January 10th. There was no football. There was four transfers that had come in. And that's where we started. And we're actually, right now, we are prepared. If we had practice tomorrow, we would be prepared to go. If we had a game in 2 weeks, we're ready to go. Now, we're still completing our locker room and those type things, but I sit back and I tell our staff, we're going to have 63 young men come in here August 15th. And one time we had zero.
Wow.
6 months ago.
Wow.
And to have this in this position is, we all take a step back and say, there's many miles to go before we sleep still. But if we can continue to move the needle forward every day, just move the needle, then we're going to be in a great situation. So we're still in that process of moving the needle forward, and that won't stop for a long, long time. But we're in a pretty good situation right now. We're in a good spot.
Brian Steinspring joining us on the program, the football coach at Roanoke College. Coach, you were at the cusp of when a program that was being built here in Blacksburg was pretty special. You saw what went into it and what needed to be done. You mentioned the recruiting piece, which you were always so strong about getting done for Coach Beamer. Can you talk about how that experience helped you prepare for this opportunity, knowing what a program's supposed to look like when it's built the right way?
Well, I told our athletic director, I said, I had a front row seat to the best coach in America and the way things are supposed to be done and how things are supposed to be done. And it really doesn't – I know it's Division I, Division III, but there's a right way to do it. Be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And that's our goal. We are actually – I was in Blacksburg last week visiting with their staff. We have a good rapport back and forth there, and what they're doing up there has been great to see. Blacksburg, as you know, I spent 25 years there, and it will always be home to me and a special place to me, so I enjoy going back. But a lot of things, it's just I probably started off our first staff meeting with drew a dot in the middle of the board, and he drew a circle around it, and he said, the dot is us. It's Blacksburg, Virginia. We're going to recruit this area with purpose and diligence. And if we can win this with the schools within this circle, this is how we're going to establish our blueprint. And I did the same thing. And 70% of this class is going to come within that circular area, whether it's Northern Virginia, Richmond, this area, the Roanoke Valley, the surrounding parts of it, that's where our class came from. And that's how that needs to be the blueprint of our success now and our future success.
What did it mean, Coach, at your presser to have Coach Beamer there, Coach Foster, those guys that you grew into coaching with here in Blacksburg?
Well, it meant the world to me. If anybody heard me at the press conference, it was actually hard for me to, when I saw Coach Beamer sitting there, I said, oh, this is going to get rough. So it just meant the world to me. I mean, he's been so much to all of us. And you're getting ready to have Dwight Vick on here in a little bit, and who was actually, when I first became the line coach at Tech, over-assumed that he was a big part of helping me manage that transition to offensive line. Him and Derek Smith are the two seniors, and they helped a lot. But getting back to Coach Beamer, somebody asked me when I went to left Blacksburg, and I went to James Madison where I went to school, and I had a coach walk up with a sports information director and said, what's it like to be on the field without Coach Beamer? I said, I don't know. And they said, well, he's not here. I said, no, he's always here. And I've always felt that. I've taken a big chunk of him, and anytime I step on the field, he's right there with me.
Brian Steinspring joining us on the program, the head football coach at Roanoke College. And a couple of questions, Coach, and we'll let you go and appreciate you taking time. This first year for fans, we're getting some text messages. The schedule's going to be a little less this year as you kind of get your feet wet. Talk about how it's going to look, as you mentioned, in looking forward to 2025. What can people see out of this team in terms of being able to come watch this team play this coming season?
Well, we're going to play on Sundays. When you play what we consider a JV schedule this year, five games, three at home, two away.
Mm-hmm.
It just fits better for all those people. When can you play a JV game? And then Sunday just becomes the general best date to do it. So that's the reason we're doing it on Sunday, which actually bodes well do is play a week. We'll take a week off and learn from it. All of us, not just our players, our staff. The staff will be the first time we work together. The logistics, they haven't traveled to an away game since 1942. So how does this all work? I don't want to go into 2025 and let's figure it out. Let's figure it out now. And growth and development, that's the key for us. Everything going into this season and what this season is all about is grow our young people, develop our young people, so we are ready to step into a very tough ODOT conference and be able to compete. And, you know, we'll be all of 18 years of age this year, and we'll be in a mature 19-year-old group of players next year. So we're going to be young, but we got to grow and develop them, and this season is a big part of that.
Well, and you've already mentioned, Coach, going forward, the ODAC is such a terrific Division III league. Is I mean, the competition level is going to be pretty strong every Saturday going forward.
Absolutely. I've always had tremendous respect for this conference, and I know the teams well. I know the coaches. I just think it's great football. You got a bunch of guys out there that just love the game, playing the game. And that's exciting as well. But I grew up going to games at W&L. I was in Lexington. My first job was as a teacher was in Lexington and going to W&L. I had a lot of friends that went and played at Bridgewater and the Emory and Henry and Ferrum, as I said. So I grew up watching a lot of ODOT football, and I actually watched a lot of ODOT basketball. There's a lot of times when I was young, I came over and watched the Maroons play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just old enough that I can remember their national championship teams of 71 and 72, I think. Roll Toby on that. But when I was a young guy, I used to come over and I'd stop by and catch a game of Paige Moyers along the way if I was down here recruiting. So I'm very familiar with the conference and the quality of play. You look out there in the playoffs and we have a team out there in just about every sport competing for championships. And so this is a well-respected conference, I'm looking forward to it. I know what's ahead of me. We know what's ahead of us, and we know the challenge. And again, going back to your question at the beginning, hiring a staff that has, again, familiarity with this conference, familiarity with the recruiting part of it was a critical piece for us as we move forward in hiring a staff.
Well, I know you're going to have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and I can't think of a better individual to start a football program than yourself, Coach, and what you're going to bring to Roanoke. And, hey, we'd like to keep up with you as you go along. I'd like to hear from you throughout this first season and so forth as you continue to build this program. But thanks so much, man, for taking the time, and I'm thrilled to death for you and your family.
Rick, I appreciate you having it on, and I'd love to get back on whenever you'd like, whenever you've bored and want to talk a little bit more. But I said in my press conference, I hope you understand this, guys like you that can talk about Roanoke College and what we're doing here is critical for us. We to get it out there that we are here, and we are looking forward to it. But I appreciate everything that you do, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to get on your show and talk about Roanoke College football.
Well, anytime, Coach. Yeah, we're going to be big Roanoke Maroon football fans going forward. Hey, anything you want me to pass on to Dwight real quick before we let you go?
Tell Dwight he doesn't have to tell you everything about my coaching strategies, okay?
I will.
You tell that big guy I said hello, okay?
I'll do it. Coach, thanks so much, man, and we'll talk again soon. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Great stuff there from Brian Steinspring, the new head football coach at Roanoke College. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More coming up here, hour number three.
It's Big Dog Sports Talk.
This is Ted Hendricks, and you're listening to the Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Ain't no damn good.
You can't trust him, you can't. And whenever the mad stork says, "Hey, Rick, do you want another drink?" you always say yes. I'm not going to be like Ray Stantz, you know, when Zool says, "Are you a god?" No.
and die.
Great stuff there from Brian Steinspring, the football coach, new program building, Roanoke College. Also going to create an opportunity for a lot more local kids to have a chance to continue their football career, which I really like that aspect of it as well. Very good stuff. I mean, I think he's, I mean, I've known him a long time. He was a really, really solid offensive line coach. I know his offenses were under a lot of scrutiny over the years, but the guy always took that criticism, went out and did his job. And just talking to some of the texters just a minute ago, I mean, you can't deny the kind of recruit he was. We're going to get into that with Dwight, too, following up the conversation with Steiny. The kind of recruiter that he was year in and year out, and how much Frank Beamer really counted on him to, you know, take care of that end of things and to help out the continuation of the building of that program. So, good stuff there from Coach Steinspring. We appreciate him taking the time. We're going to break away, come back. More coming up. Dwight Vick scheduled to join us, our final segment on a Thursday when we return here on 105.3 The Bear. All right, welcome back to the program. 37 minutes past the hour. We're getting a ton of reaction from the conversation we just had from Brian Steinspring. We always get a ton of reaction when our next guest joins us. He is the quintessential source for Virginia Tech football, founder of Victory Life, helping human beings on a daily basis. His name is Dwight Vick. Dwight, how are you? Good morning.
I'm good, thank you. Good morning to you, boss.
Well, it's great to have you as always. And, well, we just had your former position coach on, and he talked about you. And you know something, Dwight, that was interesting? He talked about how when he made the transition to be an offensive line coach, he credited you and that offensive line in place at the time, the guys coming in, helping him with that transition. And I know you've talked about many times here on the program the relationship that you have. Take us back to those days. What were some of the things about recruiting Brian Steinspring, and then once you got to Tech, how you kind of both needed one another, actually?
I love Brian Steinspring, man. I didn't get a chance to see your tweet yesterday. If I'd have known, normally I try to tune in even when I'm not on, especially the day I'm on, you know, just to get a feel for the show, and I love your guests. I did not know he was on. I'm going to ask you, send me a link after we're done so I can go back and listen to that. I mean that.
Okay.
Steiny's my dude, man. Like, he is a fabulous person. You know, I try to tell some of the cynics and critics of Virginia Tech football, and every organization, every team has one. You know, you just don't, casual fans don't realize the backstory to success. You only see what you see on Saturdays and Thursday nights or bowl games, but we talk a lot about Beamer Ball. We talk a lot about Bud Foster. You know, you could talk about Billy Height being behind the scenes, being Beamer's right-hand man. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have the success without Coach Steinspring. You talk about every way he's been, the recruits he's got. You think about Daryl Tapp, Cam Chancellor. He was involved with Tyrod Taylor. I can go on and on and on and on and on. He was a closer, man. Guys came to Tech from the 757 and the surrounding areas because of him. And he can relate to people, man. You know, he's a country guy, but he could go anywhere. You can put him in Southeast D.C. You could put him in Christiansburg. You could put him in New York. You can put him in Maryland, California. He's going to relate to people, and he was a great coach. I remember when one of my favorite coaches of all time, J.B. Grimes, left to go to Arkansas because he was an SEC guy. He was a Southern guy. He was my O-line coach for 4 out of my 5 years at Tech. Steinspring was the tight ends coach, and we worked closely with him. And then I remember he got promoted, and we knew he was going to be great. And I remember on the bus, we used to have to do play sheets, and he would grade them the week of the game. Like, right before the game, he would give it back. And I wrote on mine, "Coach, you're doing a great job." and he wrote back, thanks, big fella. He always called me big fella. But just an outstanding coach, man. Just I'm going on. I know I'm kind of getting repetitive, man, because I just, you know, this is a good surprise to know that he was on, man. Just a fabulous recruiter, great coach, and underrated football coach. You know, Virginia Tech over the years, you know, some of the fans have always been like, oh, the offense was done. I always try to tell people, the offensive during that time, the offensive coordinator and the scheme was based on what Coach Frank Beamer wanted, you know, when it came to just playing good football, running the ball, controlling the clock. You know, we had Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Williams and David Wilson and Darren Evans and those guys and those great receivers. And we scored points. But I think many times people felt like, oh, the offense was this and that. I mean, I look back during those Brian Randall and Tyrod Taylor days, the offense maybe not didn't average 40 points a game, but there were games they won. I mean, you look at that Maryland game. We won 56 to whatever it was, 3 or something like that on Thursday night after Frank Beamer, Coach Beamer's mom, passed away. There were a lot of times the offense came through and was reliable, and you won 10-plus games, 11 games during that time, and had a chance to win 12, which would have been a record. Star Spring had a lot to do with that. And a lot of the talent we talk about, big-time recruits, came from him. I would argue that, you know, between him and Kavanaugh and Coach Height, I think Steinspring, you got to say, was the best recruiter, including today's era. Arguably the all-time best recruiter in Virginia Tech history, if you look at his track record. Pretty remarkable. And I'll just add this, too, man. Cares about you.
Yes, yes.
He still calls me, talks to me about, you know, my birthday. Just calls to check on me. You know, just a really great dude, man. That just shows you what kind of guys Beamer brought around his staff. Very reminiscent of what Brent Pry is doing with his staff and has done so far with just having good-hearted men on his coaching staff. That's not the norm everywhere. There are a lot of jerks coaching college football.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're seeing that almost on a daily basis with stories that you read as Dwight Vick joins us on the program. Well, I think it's very interesting, and he was very quick to credit the players, as always, the players that he brought in and the players that were there with the, as I mentioned, with the transition and that relationship. And that's what it's really supposed to be about, isn't it? I mean, when you strip everything else away, what kind of relationship do you have with your coaches when your playing days are done, and that influence that they still have, whether it's in high school or as you're in case with Coach Beamer and Brian Steinspring and that staff at Virginia Tech?
Well, I think that's what gets lost in all this NIL, NBA, NFL draft stuff, and, you know, all this super teams, the 12-team playoff. And again, it's a business and it's entertainment now. It's been that for quite some time. But you don't have to lose your core values. You don't have to stop caring about people. You know, I mean, think about this, Rick, for you and your listeners right now as you tune in and listen to this show right now, this great show that we always do every week, right? There are a lot of people right now who are growing up right in front of us as student-athletes across the country. But let's stick with Virginia Tech. These guys come in 17, 18, some 19 years old, and they're there for 2 to 3 to 4 years, usually 3 to 4 years, some longer, with all this new redshirting and reclass and everything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're growing up in front of us. And unlike me and you, they're growing up in front of social media, whether they're watching it or they're on it. We
right.
see every mistake they make, every DUI, every targeted class, every mistake, every poor choice, every argument, every suspension. You need people to guide these young men. You know, the Dwight Vick you're talking to right now, I've always pretty been focused, and I consider myself, you know, on top of things. But there were mistakes I made that coaches talked to me about, things I did where I was redirected and prompted and held accountable and learned life lessons. These young men are learning life lessons right in front of us on X, a.k.a. Twitter.
Right.
They're learning life lessons in front of us with these all access and these 9,000 podcasters and bloggers now, right? You need men like Steinspring and Pry and all these other guys and Marv and Coach Cheetah, DJ and Pearson and those guys, JC, to guide them. You know, at the end of the day, you got to make sure that these young men understand that the game of football primarily will end quickly. I mean, it is the only sport, I think, probably besides boxing, but even in boxing, you can come back and fight like George Foreman. Hockey and football, when Father Tom texts you saying, I'm coming through later tonight, it's over.
It's over. You're right.
It's over. And it's also a brutal sport. So you need help, people to help you have a transitional plan, a life after sports, a life after Virginia Tech. And you need people to care about you. I remember, I'm going to tell you this right now on your show. I remember one of my guys from the 757 starting to recruit guys like Bucky Hodges and Trayvon Hill. You know, a lot of people in the tech community were mad that he went to our nemesis and went to play his last year or two with Miami. But the fact of the matter is that there was some controversy. A lot of people on the team around that time felt he shouldn't have been suspended. That was a Fuente and staff decision. Well, guess what? That next morning, I was on the way to the Washington Commanders game with my wife. I remember it was raining. We had just lost to ODU, and the word is he was suspended and kicked off the team ultimately. Steinspring called me trying to get his number because he knew that kid. He knew his family. He knew what he had been through in the Virginia Beach area. And he was frantically trying to get his number to reach out to him to make sure he was okay.
Wow.
And wow. That's a true story. Anybody want to question that, call me this morning. I'll clarify it. I'll give Steinspring on three-way. That's a true story.
That's cool.
Because he knew the kid. He was not coaching at Tech anymore. I believe he was at Delaware. So he keeps up with his players. We're like Sunstam, Ty Washington, Derek Smith, Janelle DiNapoli, Jay Grove, Jay Haygood, Bill Connedy, Jim Pine. You know what I'm saying? These are all guys that he coached and coached along with and really cared about. So we need guidance. We don't have this thing figured out. You think all these young men you watch jump and flip and throw touchdowns and do these post-game pressers have everything figured out? Hell, this guy's 47 years old. They got things figured out right now. Some guys are in their second childhood because they didn't have a Coach Pry or a J.C. Price in their corner. So I think sometimes we lose sight of that. This is entertainment. This is engagement. We love the debates. We love the conversation, the predictions, and assessing which team is going to finish what. But we still are dealing with young men. And I think we forget that many times. It's tough. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense to you and your guys this morning.
No, it makes perfect sense. And you're exactly right. And I think you hit it right on the head. And I think this is something, you know, we talk about here with listeners on the show. Growing up in the face of social media and how that's changed the dynamic of everything, I just don't think it can be overstated. And you're right. I know it's great to have information. It's great to be able to interact. But, man, it has really, in a lot of ways, just torn this whole thing down, hasn't it? The way that we were all used to it being and what seems like even now that we're separated from it, Dwight, by what, 15 years, however long all this has been hitting with the internet and social media to this point, I mean, it just seems like that was a better way to build the beast as opposed to now.
Yeah, you know, my mom and dad, I got great parents, been married 52 years, right? And my mom and dad and my grandmother, so I got a grandmother who lived to be 103 years old, wow. My Mimi, and then I have a Nana right now who's 96 years old. And she's still alive. And my family, I mentioned my parents and my grandmothers because I always heard something called wait and see. You know, that's what these kids and this current fan base and these people now, we're missing out on the wait and see. I was watching the NBA draft last night, which is another topic for another show you might need to have because
yes.
I don't know what that was.
I don't either.
I have no idea what that was, right? So I'm watching the NBA draft, and me and my son and his teammate and best friend were over here along with my wife because I love basketball. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, this guy, they were like, he's only 19, he's 18, he's 19, he's 20. And they're already saying, reminds me a lot of Allen Iverson and Hardaway. I'm like, man, hold on. Let him leave his legacy.
Right.
Let him create his own legacy. Already pressure. I can't imagine. I came to Virginia Tech at 17 years old because I have a birthday. My mom started me early. I graduated high school at 17. I turned 18 while at Tech. When I graduated, I was a completely different person, a more mature person, but I was allowed to make my mistakes and grow up without a cell phone. And there is some benefit to that. There was also time for me to develop. I came out fourth in the nation by Sporting News. Number one lineman in my class was Orlando Pace. I was number four in the nation by Sporting News. Got to Tech, was not ready, had the red shirt, had to figure things out. Came from one of the best programs in the history of high school football, Hampton High School. And I was not ready to play. And I redshirted and I played as a redshirt freshman, played a lot as a redshirt sophomore, and then started my last 2 years. If that happened now, I would be a bust.
Right?
It's like, oh, Dwight Vick's not panning out. He needs it. That's what happens now. We don't allow this thing to develop, and we don't allow people to wait and see. We try to predict. Everybody wants to be the first to assume and guess, and it ends up becoming a mess. And I didn't mean to rhyme, but that's how it worked out this morning. It becomes a mess. And the truth of the matter is that we're rushing the process. We're trying to always compare, and that's the thief of joy. We don't allow this thing to happen. So I'm going to stand on business, as the youngins say, and I'm going to stand on the business, the fact that I don't mind the changes in college football, some a little bit backwards. I don't mind a lot of the things that these kids get. Obviously, the branding, but I do think we need to stick to the essence of what this country was built on and the essence of morals and values and having a moral compass and making sure these kids are not just getting a great education and being able to, you know, make money and shine on television, but understand, okay, when your career is over, what do you want to do? You know, you don't have to sleep with every girl on campus. You don't have to do drugs. You don't have to go back to the hood where you came from. You don't have to go back to the suburbs. You can go across the country. You can travel the world. Use us as a support system. That's why I respect Coach Beamer and company, because when my cousin got incarcerated, he talked about on his 30 for 30 how Beamer and the coaching staff wrote him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to do that.
Right. Right.
Think about that. Think about that. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying, Rick. That's
no.
all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that these kids, these young men, leave, understand life skills and the essence of what this whole thing is about. And we love competition. I love this game. I love football and basketball and a lot of other sports. I love the Olympics. I love what you and I talk about every week on your great show. But I also love the fact that these young men get an opportunity. And I just hate when they mess it up. And I hate when some of these coaches forget what they're there for.
Well, and I think here in closing, and it's such a great point. I'm getting a ton of reaction from people listening to you talk about these things. You know, I've asked you several times, right? Identify Tech football. What's a Tech football player? You just said it. The reason Tech football was a special place, the reason it's home, the reason it was successful is because of that word, real. And when you hear all this, there was absolutely nothing superficial about any of those coaches, any of those players like yourself, relationship with the community. It was all about being real. And that's what Virginia Tech football has missed since Frank Beamer left and what it's getting back now with Brent Pry.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put a bow on this thing, because Pry is doing it. I'm not just loving the in-state recruits and the talent he's bringing in. I'm loving, and again, a few of these guys might not pan out, but I'm loving the fact that we are now establishing an identity. It just feels good, man. For the first time in years, I said this to you a few months ago, I'm excited about August and September. I'm talking about, I can't wait. In the previous regime, I was dreading it because I was like, Lord have mercy, what show will be this weekend?
Yeah.
Anyway, man, I appreciate you, man. Thank you, as always, for letting me talk my truth.
No, great stuff, man. I could have a conversation with you for multiple hours. It would feel like maybe 5 minutes. I love it. Great stuff. And I want to get your NBA draft take next week, because I think we also share a common bond about that. So,
man, listen, Rick, man, first of all, who told them to go into 2 days, man? Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. I should have texted you. I was watching it, and I'm not even a hater.
No.
What is this?
I'm with you.
Anyway, man, yeah, it is what it is. But I appreciate you, boss.
All right, my friend. You too. Have a great weekend with your fam. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right, another great conversation with Dwight Vick. Man, that's good stuff right there. Brian Steinspring, Dwight Vick, back-to-back. Yes, sir. And you know what? The word real, I think that applies to those two individuals without question. We're back to wrap it up after this.
It's Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson.
Well, how good were those conversations, huh? My goodness gracious. Thanks to Brian Steinspring and Dwight Vick. I mean, that's just... That's grade A radio gold right there with those two individuals every time. All right, good stuff today. We appreciate you as always. Thanks to Paul Johnson, our GM, for coming in, explaining the situation with Tech's new marketing group. And thanks to Coach Steinspring and Dwight Vick. Tomorrow, we'll have your request in hour number one, the All Request Friday, and Jen the Gamecock Girl and Mike Ashley. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap up another week.
all of us here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.